Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
All right, all set here in the booth. Yes, thumbs up. Levels look good. Thank you, Reginald. And, yes, of course I'm ready. Good. All right. Well, then let's do it. Episode 154 into the books. Okay. Three S's, Jim Starr, Smile, and Strong. Here we go. 3, 2, 1. Hey, it's Elton Jim Toronto, and this is Captain Podtastic. And welcome to another episode of Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic. Right here at WGNplus.com. Every Monday, a new episode is posted for your podcasting pleasure. Say that three times fast. It's not quite Peter Piper picked a peck of pickle peppers. Well, it isn't quite that, is it? Peter Piper picked a peck of pickle peppers. It's not quite that. But for your podcasting pleasure, isn't too bad either. I love alliteration anyway. But anyway, welcome to the podcast here. And don't forget, you can listen to all previous podcasts at WGNplus.com. Just go to the entertainment section of the website. Hit the Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic prompt. There's a little more P alliteration for you. And you will find all previous, there's another P, 153 episodes, which means, of course, that this must be 154. So thank you for downloading, clicking, scrolling, streaming, whatever it is that you podcasters or podcast listeners and you tech-savvy folks out there do, whatever it is, however it is you find this podcast floating out into the internet and ethernet and hopefully the zeitgeist, we appreciate your loyalty and your clicking. And we were going to go right to our guest today. We didn't get a chance to speak with our regular contributor last episode, Emily Arminetti, so we're going to bring her on right now. Hello, Emily.
Hey, Jim.
How are you doing?
Oh, I'm good. How are you?
Oh, I'm not too bad. We are beginning to, I don't know, Emily does not live in the Chicago area where I do. She lives in the southern parts of this beautiful country of ours. And I'm surprised that you, you've been there for what, 2 or 3 years now? 4 years?
Four. It'll be 4 years.
For wow. Summer. And do you sense any kind of accent on your part?
No.
Not at all?
No, but as you know, I've lived in a bunch of different cities since I left Chicago, and I have never picked up the accent. I mean, even when, I was in London for 7 years.
Yeah, and you did not really pick up anything.
Well, not only did I not pick up anything, but I cannot lose my Chicago accent. Like, when people ask me where I'm from, and I say, oh, well, I grew up in Chicago, they're usually like, yeah, I could tell.
Yeah. Yeah, that's funny. But you have not even got any a hint. Now, what about your kids?
You know, it's funny. I think there may be a little bit of that slipping in, but not in like a really obvious way. It's like, it's only, maybe it's just me. Like, I notice certain words that they say sound like, I can tell, I'm like, oh, you sound a little like your teacher.
Because even though you don't live, you know, you live in a, you know, you live, I mean, I don't know if you mind saying where you live or not.
No, we've talked about, I live in Austin.
Yeah. Now in Austin, I mean, it still is in the heart of Texas, but I, at the same time, it's kind of a cosmopolitan area where there, I would assume, because of the booming tech industry, that there's a lot of transplants like yourself.
Yes, there are.
And so even though I'm sure it still has its southern roots and its Southern personality, and certainly has its share of people that have the Texas drawl.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, I would assume that it also has some diversity in terms of accents of people from all over the place.
It does, yes. But there's one thing, I mean, like, there are, so you still get, like, there's one thing that, like, pretty much if you're from anywhere in Texas or anywhere in the South that you can say, and it's one of the things that I love about being here, and I wish that I could pull it off, but I just can't because I'm from Chicago. But y'all is, like, one of my favorite.
Yeah.
Like, and it's really sweet. I think my kids, because they will, you know, because they are growing up here, I think that's right. Something that they will just naturally say.
Do they say and, y'all?
Oh, yeah. It's really like.
And no, your kids. Your kids.
Well, not yet, but they will. And like, it was funny because I was talking to one of the girls in my son's grade at school. I think it was last year. I was there for lunch. We were chit-chatting and she said, like, what are y'all doing for spring
right.
break? And I thought to myself, that's my going to be my daughter in a few years.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, but,
and that is a funny. That is a very popular colloquial phrase anywhere in the South. Y'all.
Yes. But here's the thing about y'all. I mean, people definitely say it. And like, actually, if you're from Texas, you would, it just like, that is what you say. You don't say, hey, what are you guys doing
right.
on Friday night? Or what are you all doing? Like, you would never say that.
Right. It's y'all.
What are y'all?
Y'all.
What are y'all doing? Yeah.
Do your kids have a very Southern teachers? Like, very.
They have. They're actually, my son's teacher right now was born and raised in Austin and went, you know, so I think. They have I think they do have teachers from elsewhere, but I think on balance, I think a lot of the teachers in our school are originally from somewhere in Texas.
Yeah.
And I also think, like, depending on where you grow up in Texas, like, I know people from Dallas who I would never guess that they grew up in Texas because there's really no detectable accent whatsoever. So
yeah.
I think it does, it sort of depends on where you grew up. So it's not like every day we encounter a super strong Southern accents, but they're just, it's just like a.
But when you go like down to the local watering hole or you go to the local Walmart.
Local watering hole.
Or the Walmart or the, the Best Buy or wherever.
The CVS.
Yeah, the CVS. And of course it's the CVS. It's not CVS.
Well,
it's
the
Walgreens.
Well, no, I always joke because, you know, my parents are always like, where your mom's at the Jewel.
Right.
Like, it's Jewel. It's not, have you ever noticed?
The Jewel.
The Jewel.
The Jewel.
But does anyone in Chicago just call it Jewel? I don't think so.
Well, no, people in Chicago, if you remember, I mean, you've been away so long, most people call it Jewels.
Well, I think.
I went over to Jewels.
My parents still say the Jewel.
The Jewel or Jewels? Because, you know, there was a place called Dominic's. Jewel. There was a place called Dominic's.
I remember Dominic's.
Yeah, so my point is that was plural. So a lot of times there was Dominic's and Jewel's.
Oh.
Because I worked at Jewel when I was in high school, and so I know how people would say either the Jewel, I'm going to the Jewel. My dad, I think, used to say, I'm going to the Jewel.
Well, I can tell you, in Arlington Heights, Illinois, everybody says the Jewel.
Well, you know, too, I think, because initially the actual store was called the Jewel Tea and Something Company.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
This was probably before I was like.
Oh, yeah, me too. But its history was called like the Jewel Tea and Something. And then it went just to Jewel. So maybe, you know, that older the Jewel, we're going to the Jewel because it was actually called the Jewel. And then it just sort of stayed, even though the company itself took off the and all the other stuff. But yeah, no, like I said, I do not really. I do not even detect any hint of any kind of a.
I'll tell you what, though. One of my favorite things about y'all is when it's applied to kids. I don't know why, but for some reason, I love it when like one of the parents we're hanging out with will just be like, you know, look at a big pack of kids and just go, y'all need to go play outside now. You know, because right. for some reason, kids just listen to that. I don't know why. Maybe
yeah.
something about this,
well, it's kind of sing-songy.
Mesmer, I don't know. Yeah. I love that's one. I love that. I wish I could say that.
Well, can't you, I mean, can't friends. You start to just incorporate that?
I mean, it just doesn't come.
I know, but so what? But you have to start doing it.
Maybe give me a few more years.
Oh my gosh, you have four already. What more do you want?
Well, like I've always said this, when I moved to London, you know, I did not pick up any accent whatsoever, but there are, your vernacular does change.
Well, sure, you have to.
There are certain words that like are different there. Like you would never say apartment. Because right. if you say
flat.
Apartment to British people, that means a totally different thing to them.
Yeah,
they think you're living in some palatial penthouse.
Right. It's a flat.
Is what you say.
Yeah.
If you say, hold the elevator, they act like they have no clue what you're talking about. They're like, you mean the lift?
Right. The lift and even, you know, the tube is the subway.
That's right. The tube. But I would say as far as the colloquialisms, is that what we call them? There's just like sayings that are like non-essential, let's call them, like expressions, are things that I never, like, you know, there, instead of saying thanks, most people say cheers.
Right.
I would never do that. I would still say thanks. You know,
now, you know what, though? What I do, because I have a few friends in the UK, and I will end my emails to them with cheers.
Well, that's okay. I could do that because that's like, that's the same thing. It's like, I would never, like, best is not a way that I would ever, like, sign off to someone in real life. But but when you start working and that's just something you adopt, like, you know, like anything else, any other something that's like, you know, just a standard way of.
Well, even like the word whilst.
The word what?
WILST.
Oh, whilst. Yeah, I don't think I ever really.
No, but that's big. I mean, I would write in England. I wrote stuff that was printed in England, and if I put will, they would edit it and put whilst.
Oh right. Oh yes. Well, like if they were, yeah. I know what you mean. Like if they were editing something.
Yeah.
That you wrote, yeah.
Yeah.
I get that. Yeah. Yeah, but it's just like there are certain things like. You know, oftentimes Brits will like greet each other. Like I would say, hi, how are you? Right. If I'm passing you in the hallway at work, right. You'd be like, hey, how are you? Or whatever. But oftentimes like when people pass each other there, they say, you're all right. And they're not asking you if you're all right. You know, as an American, you'd be like, yeah, I'm fine.
Right.
Like, you know, but what they're not even asking you, they're really, it's just like saying, they're not expecting a response at all. It's the same thing as saying like, hey, hi, how are you? Hi, how are you? Passing each other in the hall and you're done. That's something I also could never change. Like till the day I left there, I was still like, hi, how are you?
Right. Like, ask people, you know? Well, the cheers thing I picked up more or less. And I will say that when I'm in England to people, but I pick that up just from watching Ricky Gervais all the time.
Oh,
he says that he just, well, in The Office and all his other shows, he just says that very nonchalantly, very naturally with even within a sentence. Like it'll be, well, if that's the way you feel, then cheers to you. Or if that's how you feel, cheers. But, you know, it's just like, wow, they throw that cheers in a lot, like it's okay or, you know, good for you or good to see you type of thing. So I've just used that, especially like I said when I sent an email.
Yeah.
Cheers. And
like,
that.
Like you know. When you're emailing Elton John.
Oh, sure.
Cheers, yeah. Elton John.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But anyway, well, I wanted to talk today about the reason it's actually interesting that we talked about kids, because I wanted to bring this up and I thought it would be best to talk about it once again, not only from a female perspective, but with from a mother's perspective and or a parent's perspective. And I'm not either. So I think I needed to bring in the big gun, so that's why I brought you in today.
That's obvious.
But so because a couple of things happened recently to me, and so I was like, oh, this is interesting, and usually when I get that aha moment, I go, podcast topic.
Oh, mm-hmm.
So I don't know if I mentioned this to you before or even on the podcast, but I was talking about a couple of weeks ago meeting or having a chance to once again spend some time with one of my childhood idols, Tony Esposito, the Blackhawks mm-hmm. goalie. Mm-hmm. And I had found later, after I met him, unfortunately, at my house, I found this drawing that I did of him when I was like 8 or 9 years old.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And it was, I did it with my, I could tell by the markers, they were my Bic Banana markers, which still held up pretty well. I mean, those things have to be like, you know, almost 50 years old, and the color is still very vibrant, but I used
that's amazing.
Yeah. And so I found this thing, you know, and it was, I used to draw Tony Esposito all the time. I just used to, I just used to draw him all the time. And so I had, thankfully, and I've said many times, my mom was a pack rat, and it, mm-hmm. when she passed away, it was a pain in the pack rat to throw out so much stuff that she kept. Yeah. I mean, she was probably on the borderline of a hoarder. I'm not sure. Probably the dictionary definition, she probably would have got into that. But, I mean, the house wasn't.
If you went to her house.
No. No, it wasn't. No, but the attic was. The attic was the hidden.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Then she's not really a hoarder. Hoarders, you can't even get in the front door.
No. She. That's what I mean.
But I hear what you're saying. She was a pack rat.
Yeah, I mean, she was definitely. I mean, the attic in our my childhood home was definitely our family's dirty little secret.
Right.
Because no one went up there except us, and it was, and that literally was.
Which is okay, because
no.
Never expecting to go into someone's attic.
Right. No. Exactly. I'm just saying. But it was a mess. It was it was just everything thrown. It was you did have to almost find some kind. As I said before, until I cleaned that out, I never knew what color the floor was. In that, it was that kind of thing. You had to step over stuff pretty much.
Yeah.
But anyway, and as much as I curse that many times, because she passed a little of that on to me, and I've had to, but I've confronted it earlier than she did, and so I have been decluttering slowly and surely, but I still keep a lot of stuff, and this is where you get to that line. And I mean, I look at this picture that she saved, and I go, oh my gosh, thank you so much, Mom, for saving this. Now, somebody else who wasn't either, I don't know if it was in her mind sentimental, or was she thinking someday he will want to see this? Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know if her mom threw out stuff, and so maybe in her mind, well, I'm not going to do that because I wish I could see my blank, blank, and blank. You know what I mean?
Well, I bet you could probably tell, because let's put it this way. If your grandmother had saved your mom's stuff, wouldn't you have been finding that?
Yeah, see, and I didn't find, that's true.
Your mom wouldn't have gotten rid of that.
Right,
so
yeah.
That's a clue right there.
So maybe she went over, once again, we do little in moderation here, so she went to the other side of the coin. But I have to say, there are some things that she saved. I mean, we were going to a baptism in a couple of weeks. And I know I still have my baptismal gown.
Yes.
I mean, my mom saved my baptismal gown with the little hat and the white little, whatever it's made of, silk or, whatever that shiny, whatever that is.
Silk, satin.
Yeah, silk or satin. Yeah. And it's just like, oh my gosh. Now, do I need that? No. But you know what? When it came time to declutter, I couldn't throw it away.
No.
You know?
I know.
And so that was the thing. So when I saw this thing, I mean, it immediately brought back every memory of me drawing these Tony Esposito pictures, countless ones of them.
Right. Yeah.
And then it brought back, wow, I've always known that I was have been a huge Tony Esposito fan from such a young age. But wow, here's the proof. That wasn't just some kind of thought in my head. And even if you tell people, oh, I've been a fan for a long time, they nod their heads. Well, here's,
Now you can just walk around with your hand-drawn picture, and anytime you're talking to someone about how long you've been a fan of his, you just take that out.
Yeah. Well, I put it. I mean, I put you I know. So this. I sent an email to thank the people at the Blackhawks for setting that up. I had found this, and I said, "Hey, just so you know, that wasn't a wasted opportunity." And the people there know that because I've met Tony on a few occasions, thanks to them. But I said, "Hey, look what I just found!" And I put it in an email, and the guy that that set it up for me, I mean, he responded immediately. And this guy's a pretty busy guy.
Yeah, what is he like, the PR guy?
He's like the executive vice president of the entire organization.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah. He's a mocker there.
What's his name?
His name is Jay Blunk.
Oh, okay.
He's a huge and thank you so much, Jay. But yeah, he's second in command. Okay, so he's got a lot more things to worry about than my 8-year-old drawn pictures of Tony Esposito.
Right, right.
And he goes, "Oh my God, this is amazing." He's like, "Send me a copy. I want Tony to see this the next time he comes into town."
Aww.
You know, he's got to see this and everything. And I put it up on my Facebook page a couple of weeks ago. And I got all these, you know, reactions of people. Oh my gosh, this is amazing! This is fantastic. I'm like, well, let's be honest. It's okay for an 8-year-old. I mean, it's not.
See, now you're making me. I'm like, as soon as we hang up, I need to go on your Facebook page and see. Let's just see how good this.
Yeah, go. No, I'm proud of it. I mean, for an 8 or 9 or 10 year old kid, I had to have been. It's pretty good. I mean, it's pretty good. There's a lot of detail. In fact, one guy goes, "Hey, good."
And you know, I mean, I have a 9-year-old now.
Yeah.
Freshly minted 9-year-old, so I am a very good judge of what is
okay. Well, yeah, I would urge you to please. I would say go. It's probably from about 2 or 3 weeks ago. Just keep scrolling down, and you'll find it.
Okay.
Or I could send it to you because I do have it. I can send it to you an email. But anyway, so that was interesting to me to go. Wow, you know, thank you, Mom. You know, unexpected kind of little thing that you know that she saved that thankfully. Somehow made it through all the different house moves and everything else.
Mm-hmm.
And so then I was going through, this was about 2 or 3 years ago, I was going through a bin I have of some of my dad's stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And he was not he was, talk about, you know, 180 degrees. If he bought a pair of pants, he threw a pair of pants out.
Oh, that's a good, he's like a Marie Kondo.
Oh, yeah, So that's why I'm like, there's part of me that wants to save, and part of me that when I throw out, I feel so cathartic, I feel orgasmic when I throw stuff out in the garbage can, because I'm getting these two sides, you know?
Right.
I mean, it took me, you know, weeks to clean my mom's stuff out. It took me about 10 minutes to clean out my dad's closet. Done. All his drawers, all of his closet, done, completed, finished. Yeah. It was, and it's in one bin, and there's some cool stuff, but it wasn't an excess at all.
But it fits in one bin.
Yeah, in one bin. Yeah. And so, as I was going through this stuff, I had to get something I remembered something. So I go into the bin, and I had forgotten, and I found this kind of leather pouch, right? It's not real leather, but it looks leathery, right? And it's like this black leather pouch and it's lined with some multicolored stitching that, you know, with holes throughout it, and so the thread is there's just holes, and so the thread kind of outlines the flap over it, mm-hmm. and the sides, and it sort of keeps it together, right? Mm-hmm. It's very rudimentary, you know, but it's not bad. So I realized when I saw it immediately, I go, "Oh my gosh, I made this in Cub Scouts."
Oh, really?
And I said, "This was my." I mean, I had not seen this thing in, you know, 40 years, and I go, "Oh my God, this is the pouch." And then I looked inside, and there was nothing in it. And obviously, you know, when you do these things at Cub Scouts, you know, you leave them at the den,
right.
at your den until you're finished, because I'm sure this was a major project when you're 7 or 8. And so yeah. we put our initials. So inside, there's my initials that I wrote, you know, JT, uh-huh. so that when we picked them up, because I'm sure everybody's looked the same. I'm sure, although I'm sure mine was almost very
was a masterpiece.
Yeah, it's probably professional in quality.
Obviously,
I probably could have I could have taken this and put it right down at Sears, and someone would have bought it. There's no
Sears.
Question.
You do know that Sears is going out of business.
Well, I'm just saying, yeah, but 50 years ago, it was a big thing.
We'll say Nordstrom. Let's just say.
Okay, okay. Right. Well, I don't know. Nordstrom. I don't think Nordstrom would be carrying this. So it might
I
be.
I thought you said it was a masterpiece.
Well, it was a masterpiece for
maybe
what it was.
It should be in the loop.
Yeah, right.
I don't know.
But anyway, and it's in perfect condition. It's almost as if it's almost as if I made it yesterday. Mm-hmm. And so I saw this thing, and once again, I immediately flashed on, this was my Cub Scout. So then I'm thinking about my Cub Scout stuff, and I'm sitting there going, because I remember, I believe that this was kind of like a Father's Day gift or something that we made in Cub Scouts for our dads.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh my God. I mean, I went through all this stuff that he made, to me, this was almost like Rosebud from Citizen Kane. Because, I mean, Rosebud. Here was something that I made him when I was, you know, 7 or 8, and he kept this.
That's very sweet.
Yeah, and I was just like, oh my God, of all the things in my life, you know, that with my dad, I never would have thought that this pouch in his mind was worth saving.
It was a keepsake.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so I just, this happened, as I said, because I had to go back into that bin recently, and I saw this thing again, and I went, oh my God, you know, my thing. And then the Tony Esposito picture with my mom, and I was like, oh my gosh, you know, talk about, you know, in this world, as I said, of, you know, don't worry about the past, and it's all about what's today and what's tomorrow. I'm sitting there going, oh my gosh, here's stuff that for whatever reason, and I can't go back and ask them now, why did you keep this type of stuff? But at the same time, when I saw it, I'm like, wow, not only did it bring back memories of me, but then it just brings back memories of them and every other thing, you know, aside from just the actual item. And so I was just wondering from your standpoint, because as you said, now you've got some young, a couple of young kids in there, you know, and they're not even in their double digits yet.
Right.
And it really is, I could tell you now from my situation. Now, once again, I don't know if everybody is as weirdly, have this kind of memory or oddly sentimental, whatever you want to call it, or whatever I am. But I'm just saying is, are you beginning to think about that? Because in the rush of your everyday life, mm-hmm. I'm sure you're not thinking about when they're 40.
I'm not, but I will say that, okay, so first of all, I just recently did kind of a spring cleaning of the kids' closets, and obviously over the years, I've had to do that before. I mean, since James was born, I've moved, like, I've lost track. D.C., right. Chicago, New York, Austin. Okay, I've moved at least 4 times. There are certain things that I had already put in, like, a special drawer. You know, obviously they both had, like, a little baby book.
Right.
And, you know, the christening outfit. So James, I bought a christening outfit for him. It was a cute little romper, like shorts romper with like a Peter Pan collar. But because my mom still had my christening gown.
Right.
But I ended up buying something at this boutique in D.C., which is where we lived at the time that we had his baptism. And it was a cute little, very boyish, you know.
Right.
But then when I had a little girl, I said to my mom, do you still have that christening gown? So my daughter wore the christening gown that I
was
baptized in.
Yeah, that's cool.
And I actually think I want to say that my sister was also baptized in that, and so was my niece when she was born, my sister's daughter. So, like, that's been something, like, it's great that my mom kept that.
Right.
And we will hang on to that, and hopefully our children's children, if the thing is still, right. If it's not, like, falling apart.
Right.
You know, hopefully they will be. So I do still have, and then I have James's little romper that I bought him. I saved like a really nice, I bought him this really sweet, like for his first holiday, another jumper that like, I mean, to the, if I, you know, I'm sure if he saw a picture of himself in it now, he'd be like, oh my God, Mom, I can't believe you made me wear that.
Right, exactly.
But it's like just so sweet. And he was a little baby and, you know, and when I was clearing out his closet, there was sort of less to keep because I had already done those real like keepsake, you know, from when they're really young. But
right.
There were a few things because we have a good friend who has a little boy and he takes all of James's stuff and he wears it all. And so I went through James's closet and cleaned it out. And we gave them everything except there were a few things we pulled out. And one of those things was like the little T-shirt, the Big Brother T-shirt that he wore when we like FaceTimed our families to let them know that we were having another baby.
Right, right.
Because that's the kind of thing that it's just like, it's so special and unique to, even though it's just a T-shirt, like it's attached so strongly to like such a like an important memory. So
yeah, no question.
Kind of stuff. Now I have to say with my daughter. And you know, the lock of hair from like their first haircut.
And I have, and believe me, that's exactly the stuff. I have,
yeah.
I have my hair. My mom saved my hair.
Yeah.
Which I still have.
Uh-huh.
She saved my teeth.
Yeah. Okay. The teeth. Yeah. That's a tough one because you do think, does anybody really want a box of teeth?
Well, I don't. Well, no. I mean, once again, now when I saw these, what I mean, there she had them in a pill, like pill thing.
Yeah.
And some of them were actually marked. Some of them were in a pill thing. Some other ones were in a little box, and she taped them to a piece of paper, and wrote down the date.
Wow.
And the circumstance of how I lost it. Like,
wow,
you know, overnight or eating cereal.
Yeah.
Or you know,
came out at school.
Yeah.
Wow. I mean, for a pack rat, she was an organized pack rat.
Oh, no. Yeah. No, I mean, yeah. But I mean, yeah. So, but she was definitely like chronicling this.
Yeah.
And as I said, there was a moment. Now, those I did not. I kept my hair because that's pretty cool.
Well, yeah. But you don't need the old teeth.
But I didn't need the teeth, but it was cool to see the teeth.
I think it's cool. Right. I think it would be cool to see, especially because the little babies, they're so tiny,
yeah.
You know. But there is something a little creepy about a box full of teeth.
Yeah, no, there was. Like I said, I opened this up. I said, what is this? Now, the hair thing was actually.
I was expecting to see that.
Yeah, no. Because at first I pick up this little box and I shake it.
Yeah.
So you hear these, and I'm like, "Hey, it's like a gold. It's like gold. You know, there's some kind of this is the treasure that I've been waiting for." And then I open it up. It's all my teeth.
You didn't want to have like a bracelet made.
But now the hair thing was actually I thought was pretty cool, and even
yeah.
And when she passed away, I actually cut some of her hair off,
mm-hmm.
and I put mine and with her when she was buried, I put some of her hair with my old hair.
Okay.
In the casket with her, and I still have some of her hair. And actually, when I buried and I went to Poland a few years ago, and I buried some stuff of hers in Poland, and I had some of her hair. So
I remember you talking about that.
Yeah. The hair thing I think is worth it. The teeth thing was interesting, but I don't think that's a keeper. So
yeah.
Let me just I'm here to give you some pointers.
I can keep hair. Yeah. I'm willing to keep hair.
Yeah. Now, I would say keep the hair.
Here's what they do now, cuz I remember James's first haircut like it was yesterday, and he was almost 2. It was right before his second birthday. Everyone, my parents, my you know, my husband, I think my mother-in-law asked me at one point, everyone was like, when are you going to get his hair cut?
Right, right.
And to be fair, his hair was getting all wispy and out of control and long and unwieldy. But I just couldn't. I was like, he's my little baby. I'm not ready. So finally, before his second birthday, I go to get his hair cut. So these days now, you know, first of all, we took him to like one of these kids' places where they sit in like an airplane or a train.
Right,
you know
right.
what I mean? It's all geared toward kids and they can watch like a TV show while they're getting their hair cut and whatever. And so when you leave there, like, so they're on to this whole keepsake thing now because.
Yeah.
They give you a certificate.
Oh, with, like, Jesus.
Their name on it. And then, like, stapled to it is a little, neat little plastic bag with
the lock
of hair placed so nicely.
Oh, how funny.
So that's, like, a whole thing.
Yeah, yeah.
But in my daughter's case, with girls, you don't really have to get their hair cut, like, as early.
Right.
You pretty much hold off as long as you want because you can still... Yeah. And, you know, a lot of little girls like to have longer hair, but it is also somewhat of a rite of passage for some girls to end up cutting their own hair.
Yeah, right.
Turn your back for 2 minutes, which is what happened in our case. So my daughter's, like, lock of hair, I say that with air quotes, is really more of a clump of hair that she just, like, grabbed scissors and just chopped off one day. And so, yeah, so in her case, it's not, I don't have a nice little certificate.
Right,
like,
right.
You know, and actually when I did, I did take her to get a real haircut after that, the incident.
As it is now referred to.
I was somewhat devastated by it, and I remember calling my mother in a panic and with tears in my eyes, like, oh my God, she cut her hair off. And so, then I had to take her to, like, a salon.
Right.
To cleaned up, and I had took her to a real salon, not, like, a kid's salon, because I'm like, this needs to be fixed. Like,
right.
I don't even know if this is fixable, you know?
Wow. Oh, she did that much of a hatchet job, huh?
Yes, it was. And honestly, the woman who fixed it did such a great job. And she did actually save a little lock for me that she wrapped in, like, tinfoil. But this was, like, a real salon, so they don't have the certificate
or whatever.
But whatever. That's part of her story. So that's what she gets. And when she's going through my things after I pass away,
right.
She will find the big clump of hair that she cut off herself.
Well, definitely, yeah.
A little tin foil thing of hair that the lady was like, well, I know this wasn't technically her first haircut, but here,
right.
Do you want to save this, like, her first official haircut? But anyway, that stuff I'll save. I mean, the thing is, too, kids these days, they bring home so much stuff from school.
Yeah.
And then they also create a lot of stuff at home. So what I try to do is keep, like, a really good... I basically went to Michael's and I bought these big... You know those portfolio things artists use for their work?
Right.
Well, you know, Michael's has... I mean, you could buy really professional ones that are expensive, but you could also buy, like, you know, just, like, plastic with Velcro, you know, things that open up. And that's... So I bought a couple of those and I keep... That's where the keepsake stuff goes that I think... You know, what I do, because I try to have a really good editing eye on this stuff, because honestly, they're still really young. I mean, I could have a whole house full of these things.
Exactly. Well, that's my point. Where do you stop?
Right.
Where do you stop?
So what I do usually is, like, once a week, maybe I'll go through the stuff that they bring home from school or the stuff they've made at home. And, like, anything, this is how I look at it. I look at it and I think to myself, if I were 40 years old and I found a bunch of stuff that my mom saved, like... Would I even know, like, would this be interesting to me at all to see? Or would I just be like, oh, great, it's an Easter egg. It's like a colored paper shaped oval with a bunch of stickers that someone put on.
Right.
You know what I mean? Because a lot of times, especially in preschool, they bring stuff like that home.
Right.
However, like, for example, James recently, they did a project in school and it was like, if I were president. and this is their account of if they were president, what they would do. Now that is interesting. As a parent, I was very interested to hear, you know, what James, you know, as a child, what he imagines he would do as president.
Right.
But that's the kind of thing that I think, well, you know.
And was it heartbreaking to know that you wouldn't vote for him?
Oh, I would always.
After you saw his views.
I liked his policies, okay? I'm on board. And I always tell James, since he was born in Washington, D.C.
Oh, right.
And he's named James. and as you know, I think we've talked about this before, there have been more U.S. presidents named James than anyone else in history. So clearly I'm setting him up. I tell him, you were born in Washington, D.C. I feel like you get extra credit for that.
Right.
And then I tell him, when you're living in the White House, you'll let mommy move.
Yeah, you're right. Right? I mean, yeah, that was your old neighborhood.
Michelle Obama's mom lived with them in the White House, didn't she? I think she did.
But, yeah, I don't know how well that worked out, but she did.
So I like his policies, but anyway, like that's the kind of thing that I'll save. You know, that if it's something that's really personal and it shows something about their personality.
Well, like I said, that's why that Tony Esposito thing was so perfect, because that was a definite major part of my youth.
Yeah.
And it was, and then to your point, it was also an expression of my own. It wasn't just a picture of him. It was something that I drew of him, which shows not only my ability or lack thereof, but at least my enthusiasm that I would want to draw this. And I even kept several. I mean, you know, once again, when, like you said, the kids bring home so much stuff or they do stuff at home. I mean, there's several, you know, these cards that we would make in school, you know, for Mother's Day.
Yes.
Or for Father's Day. And once again, there's on that bad, thick manila paper. And
you're making me laugh. Because it's always like when the kids bring these things home, it's like, my daddy is 8 years old.
Right.
But then it's always like, but when it's moms, when it's like they bring it home about me, it's like, my mommy is 76 years old. I'm like, wait, what? I'm like, daddy's 8, and I'm like 76. I don't understand. Like, the answers to their questions are hilarious. It's like, my daddy is really good at walking.
Right.
Which we found out, actually, my daughter did write one of those recently, and we found out when my husband was going through it with her at home, and he was like, oh, I'm good at walking? That's interesting. She said, no, like what she was trying to explain to him is she was trying to say working.
Oh,
her teachers misunderstood her because she is still working on her R's.
Oh, does she have that? She has that accent.
She's got the Brooklyn,
the bad New York accent,
the New York accent that like toddlers get.
Right. I don't know why, but
so they thought she was saying walking, but she was trying to say working, which then made sense to us. But it's like, but those things are always so hilarious because the answers that the kid, like the stuff that the kids come up with to like describe.
Well, Johnny Carson used to do an annual bit on his show, and they would go to some local school in the California area and ask the kids, just like you're saying, how do you make a turkey? And they were like, you know, 6 or 7 or even younger, 4 or 5, you know, how do you, you know, Thanksgiving, how do you make a turkey? And so they said, you put it in the oven at 2,000 degrees for 5 minutes, you know, and everyone just, they all just had these ridiculous, so it was hilarious. I mean, now it might be, you know, the kids probably cook more than the parents do. But back then, you know, their idea, like you're saying, of time and space and reality.
Oh, yeah. When James was little, I remember he wrote on something. It was like something that he really likes doing with his mommy. And he wrote, watching Property Brothers.
Oh, God.
We have maybe watched Property Brothers. Like, maybe one time Property Brothers happened to be on in the background of our house. And he may have asked me something about it. But I was like, we have literally never watched Property.
Well, I'd rather have that than him saying that you were watching, you know, Housewives of Beverly Hills.
Oh, please. I wait till all children are in bed before I watch stuff like that.
But, yeah, so, I mean, that's the thing that...
stuff that they come up with.
Yeah, you know? But that's the thing, like I said, when I saw a few of these things, and I have a lot of other ones, but these are the things that just most recently, you know, hit me. As I said, I've got, you know, several bins of stuff, and my mom kept all of my report cards and all of, you know, just a lot of stuff from grammar school, you know little keepsake things, and thankfully, like, I, you know, all these little awards that you win when I played in sports, you know, and I still have all my trophies, you know, from Little League and grammar school and high school and stuff. So I mean, It's really amazing. And some of that stuff, I think where the difficult line is, to your point, I think what you have to do, you have to have a keen, like you said, you have to have a keen eye of editing at this point. Mm-hmm. But also, I would also say that, don't forget now, your memories of those things and their memories of those things will be different. So what I'm trying to say is, you'll say, I have to keep this.
Yeah.
But you don't know if that thing you threw out is the thing that he or she will go, if you kept it, like, oh, I remember when I drew this, because you won't remember when they drew. You know what I mean? You know, right. It's hard to know what is going to be one of those touchstones and trigger some of those memories, but you can't save everything. But there comes a point, as I said, from my own experience, just to pass this on, is that if you have to make an error in judgment on this, mm-hmm. I would say save more.
Oh, see, my husband is not going to like that you said.
Well, the only reason I say that is because, and I'm not saying abundantly more, but I'm just saying, right, is that because then you can allow them later on to decide, mm-hmm. what they go, oh, that was cool, and dump it, or go, like I said, oh my God, you saved my Tony Esposito picture. I mean,
right.
When I saw that, I immediately remembered, oh my God, like I said, all I did was draw these Tony Esposito pictures. But that wasn't a very, conscious memory of mine normally until I saw that picture. And then when I saw it, I went, oh my God, that's right. That's all I used to do.
Right.
And so maybe that's why she kept it, because she's like, oh my God, this guy just draws all these Tony Esposito pictures. He needs to remember that. You know, I've met Tony Esposito on several occasions. I never said, oh, and by the way, when I was 7, I used to draw pictures of you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But then when I saw that, boom. So my question is, I'm not saying that you have to keep everything, but all I know is I was glad to some extent that I was able to make the decision. Like, hey, I'm going to throw the teeth out.
Rather than have a bracelet.
Rather than say, Mom, did you ever save any of my teeth? And she goes, no. I'm like, well, why? I'd love to have seen how small my teeth were. You know what I mean?
Right.
So that's the thing, that there is a thin line. And believe me, as I said, I understand. You can, if you wind up saving everything.
Oh, it could be never ending.
It is. I said, I've gotten rid of at least 45 bins of things that I had saved after I cleaned out their house and threw out 400 bags of stuff.
Right.
So believe me. I still have 100 bins of things, okay? So my point is, I still, I'm not there yet. I'm going to wait another 5 years and do another major purge if I haven't touched a lot of stuff. But my point is, at least it was interesting for me. Like, for instance, I found one year with our report cards, instead of getting, like, just formalized report cards, with the subject title, and just a little letter grade. For whatever reason, this was, the 70s. They were trying to be all hip and, progressive. And so our report cards were, I feel sorry for the teachers, to be honest with you. The teachers had to write like a paragraph or two about each kid in every class. So, and then with a letter grade, but like, oh, Jim is, a delight to have, or oh my God, can't stand him in my class, whatever it was.
Yeah.
Now, I had those, and those were cool from the standpoint that, A, I saw my teachers and remembered my teachers from fifth grade. But talk about, the whole social media thing. I tracked down a teacher of mine from fifth grade.
Oh, wow.
On Facebook. And then I took a picture of one of those things that she wrote and sent it to her and said, hey, I still have those report cards. And she goes, oh my gosh, yeah, that's my handwriting.
Aww.
You know what I mean? Sweet. So
yeah.
So that's my point, is that there are those little things where you go, okay, well, who needs this? And believe me, there's enough of those that I did throw out, like, okay, I don't need that. But then there are these other things that, once again, to me, you know, to a third party would have been like, well, what's the big deal? But she was one of my favorite teachers, and so to have that thing with her handwriting was just kind of cool to me. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then who would have thought that years later there'd be, you know, she lives, I don't even know where she lives, some other state somewhere, that you'd even have some contact. So that's my point is that, yeah, it's you can't save everything, and this is not an easy job. But as I said to you a couple of podcasts ago, you know, no, this parent thing is not easy. So I'm not pretending that it is. But, yeah, as you go through, I think you've got to have, like you said, a discerning eye, which is good. But at the same time, if there's something, I would say to you, if there's something on, you know, on the borderline of do I keep it or dump it,
yeah,
I'd keep it.
Okay.
Just for
That's
the heck
good
of
advice.
It. Just because it might be, I mean, like right now, when I saw this leather pouch that my dad saved, I'd love to have known why he saved it. I mean, great story there. But then I think back of some of the other bad projects that we made.
I'm sure you made several ashtrays.
Yeah, I mean, oh yeah.
Well, when we were kids.
Oh yeah, and I remember we made, I think it was for our mom, you know, like a jewelry box.
Right.
For our moms, but it was made with gluing different kinds of macaroni onto a box and then spray painting it. Now, I would kill for my elbow macaroni jewelry box right now.
As a mother, let me tell you something. As a mother, it's like that kind of stuff you want to keep, but I also don't want to get mice. I don't want, like, food, old macaroni, you know, that's been around for like a decade sitting around in my house. And it's funny you should say that, because we do have this little candle that James made a few years ago. I think it was probably in school. If it wasn't preschool, then it was probably kindergarten. And it's a little candle. So they took like a real candle, and then they put, like, you know, that multicolored corn.
Yeah. Oh, right. Right.
They glued all these little pieces of multicolored corn.
And you know how hard that is?
And it was for Thanksgiving. And I really never wanted to keep this thing because I'm like, ugh, I don't want to get mice. Even though I loved, you know, James made it and he made it for us and it's so sweet. But I tell you what, every Thanksgiving, he's like, oh, Mommy, why don't you put my candle on the table?
See?
So obviously
he remembers that candle
and macaroni jewel.
And I remember my box. Because I remember how long that was, so meticulous. And it took, because we had to, like, you know, I'm just like him. You had to glue every macaroni on there. And then you had to, like, in my case, it was like one side, the elbow macaronis were facing one way. And then on the other side, they were facing the other way. And then one time they were flat, and the other time, you know, so I changed it around. So, I mean, there was a lot of thought that went into this macaroni, you know, this macaroni jewel box. And I said, wow, now maybe, you know, and in retrospect, too, she may have kept it, and I may have just said, oh, my God, you know. But now I'm thinking back going, when I saw this, I started to think of some of the other projects that I made. Now, you're talking about candles. One of the cool things that I do have that I have many times thought about throwing away. And at this point, I still can't do it. When I was born, I don't know if they still have these, but when I was born, they had a candle that went from 1 to 18.
Oh, yes, they do. They have them. I think someone gave us, well, those are usually like christening gifts, aren't they?
I don't know.
But christening candle.
Yeah.
I know what you're talking about. We definitely have a candle of similar description that somebody gave us either when James was born or when it was like his christening.
Yeah, and so every birthday, that candle would come out, and my mom would burn it till after your first birthday, you burned it down.
Mm-hmm.
So it got to, and on this candle, I do remember it, because like you said, where he said, hey, Mom, take my candle out. I remember on the table at my birthday party was the candle.
Oh, that's
sweet. And it would be burning throughout the party to burn down the year that I was. And every year, next to the number, there was a little drawing or a little, you know, something representative of that year.
Yeah.
You know, like at one, you know, I don't know, but in number two, there was a little teddy bear because you got like a teddy bear, you know. And then when you were, you know, 18, there was a diploma, you know, stuff like, you know, a little, and a mitt, or, you know, there was one for a boy and a girl. But I still have it, and it's burned down to 18.
Wow.
So I have the
I really have to hand it to your mom. She was organized because I tell you what, if I had something like that every year, I'd be like, where the hell did I put the
candle?
No,
she kept it, and I found it, and I
mean, especially if you have as much stuff as she held on to, you know,
yeah,
like it's hard to like stay organized.
No, she had. I don't know how organized she was. I mean, I ultimately found this stuff as
this
I was.
Is what I'm saying, she was organized enough that every year on your birthday,
oh no,
you could get the candle out.
Oh yeah, no, she had it out. Yeah. No, she had it out. So that's my point, is that some of those, and I remember that candle very vividly. In fact, I look at some pictures of birthday parties, and there's the candle, you know, on the table. And so that's one of those things where I've seen this thing, and at this point now, don't forget, it's just a stump.
Yeah.
You know, it's a burned out stump with an 18 on it, you know, and it's like, if you saw that, you wouldn't even know what it is.
Right.
But I know exactly what it is.
Right.
And it's so tempting to throw it out because it's just this little bottom of a candle at this point.
Oh, well, see, now I say that is something you keep.
Oh, I do. Like I said, but my point is it would be very easy to throw it out. But I'm like, oh, my God, no, this was around for like 20 years. And it was such a major part of my birthday parties. And I do remember it. So that's my point, is that. You'd be surprised. I, as much as I oftentimes, you know, say, oh, my mom was a pack rat and stuff like that, there are moments when I still am discovering things that I have just, in the cleanup, just throw this stuff in a bin and say, I'll go through it later. When I do go through it, I go, oh, wow, mom, thank you so much for saying. Now, once again, there's probably 10,000 other things that I would say the same thing, which she didn't keep.
Right.
And so I'm not flashing back on those as well. But she kept enough where I can have a pretty nice little, you know, if I laid all this stuff out, which I was thinking of, like, how do I do this? You know, because it would be interesting to just say, you know, start and say, okay, here's my life in these artifacts.
Right.
You know, and lay them out year by year. Like, okay, because like you said,
have your own little archive.
Yeah, like my own little. Yeah, because she has like you said, there's a book like, you know, your baby book. And I'll tell you, she filled, you know, that that you get when the baby's born and, you know, the date. Mm-hmm. And she actually, I mean, I was going through that and she was keeping up with that. Like,
well, that's good, because I can say, as a mom, I really, it's like the first few months you're like writing down everything.
She kept through my teens.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah. I mean, so I have to say, like I said, and I have that book, and there's been things where I read in there and go, oh my God, you know, that's right. Or she.
I mean, look, the thing is, though, these days, it's easier to not keep track of this stuff on paper because technology that, like, I can go back and I can look at videos of my kids taking their first
class. Where there is no video. I have no video.
There's nothing. I mean, there's no video of us as kids, and honestly, there are maybe a grand total of maybe not, I wouldn't even say 100 pictures of me growing up. Like, you know, if you just factor in like the pictures that were taken, like, as when we were teenagers, we used to have little cameras.
Yeah, but still, don't realize how cameras were not.
I mean, I probably have tens of thousands of pictures of my kids at this point.
Right.
So it's like, all of this stuff is documented. It's just in another form.
Yeah. And you know? People don't realize how you did not carry a camera with you everywhere.
Well, right.
And the average person didn't even have a good, I mean, it wasn't, and if you had a camera, it was a horrible camera.
Yeah.
It wasn't, you know, this high-tech, beautiful camera. No, not everybody had a Nikon camera in their purse.
Right.
Like they do now, basically. And so, yeah, I mean, even the quality of the pictures that we had, no one knew how to.
Well, back then you would take pictures and then you had no idea if you captured the moment or not.
Right.
Or you took a picture of your thumb until you, like, got it.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, it was like, oh, my God, I hope that. And then you go, oh, well.
You hope it turns out.
Yeah. Oh, well, I guess I didn't get that picture of the president.
Yeah, because you don't have the ability to, like,
to look at
take as many of the moment as you want until you get a good one.
Right. Yeah. So, but
the good old days.
But I have. But like I said, so I thought it was. So I'm glad to hear that you are doing that, and I hope that other parents out there either are doing that or you will be thinking of doing that if you're going to have kids. Because believe me, at the time you may think it's fruitless, and you may think, "Oh my gosh, I've got all this crap accumulating," and then it is up to you to sort of do some creative editing. But I have to say, as somebody now who's older and still has some of this stuff. When I happen upon some of these things, like my bad leather Boy Scout pouch that my dad saved, or my Tony Esposito picture that I drew, it's like it's invaluable, you know.
Yeah.
It's invaluable, yeah. And it can't be recreated, and it can't be bought, and somebody else's leather pouch doesn't cut it.
Right.
You know, it has to be yours, and everything like that. So,
Now why I spent days and days searching, canvassing all of Austin for Papito.
Right. Oh, that's
my,
right.
My daughter's
puppy. When Emily first joined the podcast here a couple years ago, we were having an ongoing story because that is huge. Her daughter lost her favorite doll and her little lovey
that she had. And since she was born, it was given to us when she was born, and it was like her main guy.
Right, and you lost it, and then you found it, and I have to take a nod to this. You found it because of me.
But everybody said you did. Yeah, I did. Yes, that's true.
Because I told you to backtrack.
But everybody said to me, just try to buy a new
one. No.
Which, by the way, you can't even really find the same one, but I was like, that's not, they were like, she'll never know. I'm like, but I'll know.
Right.
That's exactly the kind of thing that goes in the keepsake box.
Exactly.
You know, this is your little guy. You took him everywhere. You couldn't sleep without him.
I have, once again, my mom saved it. I mean, I've always liked Peanuts. I'm not crazy about, the Charlie Brown thing. I'm not crazy, but whenever I see the Charlie Brown character, I've always have a reaction to it. And so a few years ago, at Christmas time, I bought a Snoopy. And I was going through this thing. My mom saved this Charlie Brown Avon, you know, Charlie Brown where the shampoo is in his head.
What was it? An Avon what?
It was Avon shampoo in a Charlie Brown
shampoo.
In a Charlie Brown doll, and the shampoo was in his head.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
So his round head was filled with the shampoo, and then there was a
shampoo bottle.
Yeah, and there was a top on it, and you unscrewed the top of his head, and that's how you poured it out. And I was like, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
So I have that now out and displayed.
Wow.
Because where are you going to find that?
Talk about a relic.
Yeah, where are you going to find that? You know? And so it's like I said, there's those things where you say, and I remember that sitting, I remember that being in by the tub as a little kid.
Yeah.
Because it used to be there, and that I used to use that as my shampoo, I guess. Or she used to use it, but she knew that I liked Charlie Brown. So, like I said, I know that I'm telling you to do something that at the end of the day you're going to be like, ugh, but please, you know, at the end of the day, you know, be a little judicious and don't be so quick. I guess I don't know ultimately what my advice is. I would say don't be too quick to throw it out and don't be too quick
don't
to keep
everything.
It. Yeah. So I don't know. At the end of the day here, after talking about this for an hour, I don't know if I've helped you or hurt you.
I actually feel confident in my, I think this conversation does help because it makes me feel confident that I so far have developed a pretty good eye for editing.
Yeah, and as I said, because at the end of the day, and he's going to throw some of that stuff out, but at least he and she, they'll have a chance to do that if you save a little more than you would have.
Yeah.
Then, because I got news for you, too. Some of the stuff you do save, they're going to go, why did she keep this?
Maybe.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, maybe.
No, my point is that, as I said, because your eye.
I'm thinking about the stuff I've saved so far, and I think, okay. Oh, I think they're really going to get a kick.
Okay,
out of
well, that's good.
I really appreciate.
But there are some
back.
Things that you won't, that in your mind won't bring back an immediate, thought that it will to them because they physically did it.
Right.
Or there was some event that happened while they were doing it, or they talked to a friend that you have no idea. You know what I mean? If he made something in school, this one picture may bring back some memories because that was the day that the one kid threw up.
Yeah.
In class. Well, you would have no way of knowing that or caring about that. Whereas that's like, oh my God, I remember when I made this, Tommy Smith threw up right on my shoe,
Right.
So but so I guess I leave you today with this. When in doubt, I hate to even say this because, I'm decluttering for 20 years. But when in doubt, Emily, keep it.
Well, wouldn't it be better to say when in doubt, don't throw out?
Oh, very good.
That's what you were going to say.
Oh, when in doubt, don't throw. And I'm usually the guy that comes up with the phrases.
It's
nice.
Okay. We're workshopping.
Yeah, no, there's no need to workshop. That's ready for main stage.
Don't throw out.
Yeah, that's ready for main stage. No, that's ready for, that's better than Broadway. Right there. When in doubt, don't throw. I love that.
But I do love that you were your initial stab at it was when in doubt, keep it.
Keep it. Yeah, but yeah, I mean, I went right to the point, but you had the nice little, because what did I say? Because there was one thing when I was decluttering, I would say, if it's lost its luster, no, if it doesn't pass muster, then what did I say? I had a phrase that when I was going through all my bins, and I had a phrase that if it doesn't Wait. Cut muster, oh,
no,
some,
if it's lost its luster.
If it's lost its luster. No, yeah, yeah. If it's lost its luster, it doesn't cut muster.
You're making me think, like, what if, way back in the day, Johnny Cochran had said, if the glove don't fit, find him innocent.
OJ would still be in jail.
Yeah.
OJ would have already been, he would have been, life sentence. When in doubt, throw it out. I love that. And I'm, but see, once again, but it's good that you came up with that.
Yeah.
Because now that's your phrase, and now that can be hammered in your head. I don't have.
You could put it on my gravestone.
When in doubt, don't throw it out. Oh, is that what it was? When in doubt, don't throw it out?
When in doubt, don't throw out.
Right. Very good. What a great way to end. Thank you so much, Emily, and I hope you you heed your own new catchphrase.
I will.
All right. Well, thank you so much, and we will talk to you next time.
Okay. Thanks, Jim.
Take care. And so, we come to an end here of episode 154 of Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic here at WGNplus.com. Every Monday, a new episode is posted for your podcasting pleasure. We thank you so much for your loyalty if you've been around for all 154 episodes. I ain't here on business. I'm only here for fun. This is Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic, from the end of the web to your screen.